Welcome to God Cares for You, a series of radio broadcasts featuring Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches the truth of the Word of God in a simple and understandable way that is easy to apply to your everyday life. Here's Pastor Rory Clark.
I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've heard human beings describe themselves with these exact words, almost as if they had all gone to the same brainwashing school. You know, I'm basically a good person. When people say this about themselves, they are evaluating themselves with a human point of view. Then they say something like this: well, I'm not Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm not a serial killer or anything. Because they're not like another person whom they perceive to be bad, they see themselves as good people. Well, God has a different point of view about his creatures. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, if you're a good person, you don't need God, and you certainly don't need a Savior. Satan, the enemy of God, wants you to believe that you're a good person because he doesn't want you to think you need God. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, says in his word, the Bible, that you are not basically a good person. There you sit in a dilemma. Am I good or not? We love self-deception. We love believing we're good. Well, in today's program, you'll hear what God has to say about the matter. Today's lesson: nothing good dwells in us. We're studying the consequences of sin section of Paul's letter to the Romans, a passage that extends from Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. And we're in the home stretch of our study of this passage. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to Romans chapter 2, verse 16, Paul indicts the Gentiles, those people who live the lascivious lifestyle, the lifestyle I call the lifestyle of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, the immoral lifestyle. In Romans chapter 2, verse 17 to Romans chapter 3, verse 8, Paul indicts the allegedly privileged ones, the Jews, the keepers of the oracles of God, those people who live the legalistic lifestyle, the I'm better than you lifestyle, the moral lifestyle. Both of these lifestyles are the lifestyle offers of Satan, the enemy of God. Which one of these lifestyles is your favorite? The two lifestyles can be classified under the banner of one word: religion. A discipline which fosters an overconcern about sin on the one hand, and an overconcern with following the law on the other hand. In a future part of Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul makes it clear that an overconcern with sin is not the Christian way of living. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says this: even so, believers in Christ, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God the Father and in union with Christ Jesus. Paul makes it clear that an overconcern with following the law is not the Christian way of living. Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin shall not be master over you, for you believers in Christ are not under law, but under grace. Those who have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation are freed from sin and the law. So in case you were thinking that I'm one of those soft pastors who's only concerned with telling you the wonderful things about Scripture, let me assure you that I am not. What I am is a pastor who looks at human beings from God's point of view and not from a human being's point of view. What I am is a pastor who does not underestimate what the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, did for all creatures at the cross. And what he did first is he freed every creature from the sin that came as a result of being Adam's seed. Second, he freed us from our personal sins which we have committed. Third, he freed us from the bondage, to the principle of law. In short, the Lord Jesus Christ delivered us. Paul highlights this deliverance from sin and the law in Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Romans 7:25, thanks be to God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord, who delivers us. All we have to do as human beings is accept the Lord Jesus Christ's work on the cross on our behalf through faith. And what I have found in over 5 decades of being a Christian is that full acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ's supernatural and saving work at the cross is something most Christians are just not willing to do. They'd much rather feel bad about themselves when they realize that they are not basically good than to depend on a supernatural power outside of themselves, the power of God, for their deliverance. Now, in the passage under study, Paul asks, what are we to think about the Gentiles and the Jews now that we have heard about their following Satan's offer of the lascivious lifestyle and the legalistic lifestyle? Well, in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 18, Paul begins to summarize the consequences of sin section of Romans with a 14-count indictment against the human race. Let's listen to the passage. And this is God's observation about people communicated through the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all, for we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips. Romans 3:14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Paul says the same thing in a different way in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. I, Paul, know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing to do good is present in me, but the doing of the good is not present in me. Nothing good dwells in me. Paul is saying that he has the will to do what is good, but he is not able to carry it out. Do you believe him? Does what Paul is saying apply to you? Does anything good dwell in you? Do you cling to the hope that someday you're going to do something from the source of yourself that is acceptable to God? If you confess your sins, are you going to be accepted by God? If you clean up your life, are you going to be accepted by God? If you go to church, are you acceptable to God? If you study more Bible lessons than everyone else, are you acceptable to God? If you pick the right pastor, are you acceptable to God? If you pick the right partner, are you acceptable to God? Often believers in the Lord Jesus Christ think that if they discard certain sinful activities from their lives, they'll be acceptable to God, only to find themselves back in the same sinful activities a week later. It's rather depressing, isn't it? It's sad when you realize you aren't a human version of a garage. Because when you clean a garage, at least it can be clean for up to a week before it gets messy again. With us as human beings, when we try to clean up our acts, we always fail and everything is messy again in minutes. Nothing good dwells in us. That's what this passage in Romans 3 tells us. Whether Jew or Greek, whether advantaged or disadvantaged, whether lascivious or legalistic, nothing good dwells in us. We are not basically good people in God's eyes. Let's look at the details of the indictment, beginning at Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What are we to conclude then? Are we Jews better than Gentiles, the Greeks? Not at all, for we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks, the Gentiles, are all under sin. If the expression all are under sin were simplified, it would be said this way. Every one of you has broken the law at some time in your life. Because of this, you are not lawful. You are lawless. Every one of you, you are not good. Anyone who breaks the law is not good. By saying this, Paul rejects the contention of the Jews that they are special because they were entrusted with the oracles of God. Here is the 14-count indictment against the human race, beginning at Romans chapter 3, verse 10. And for those of you who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know that these indictments applied to you before you were saved. They do not apply to you after you are saved. For those of you who are not saved, after you hear these indictments against you, it might be a good idea to be saved right now. Indictment 1, Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is no creature who is righteous before God, not even one. Many religions, many philosophies, many learned men will tell us that this is not true, but God tells us that it is. We have no special privileges before God, none of us, because God is fair to all his creatures. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, no racial distinction. There is neither slave nor free man, no social distinction. There is neither male nor female, no gender distinction, as far as our God is concerned. Romans chapter 2, verse 11, there is no partiality with God. We hear similar words in the United States Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal before the eyes of God. Indictment 2, Romans 3:11a. There is no creature who understands God, nor any other divine thing. What is it that makes you think you're special? Your bank account? Your car? Your profession? Your placing yourself above others? Your holiness? I'm a good girl. Your generosity? Your race? Your nationality? Everything in this world is designed to encourage you to think there is something inherently good about you. The Bible strikes this thought down with a vengeance. Indictment 3, Romans 3:11b, there is no creature who seeks for a relationship with God. You might wonder, how can this be in light of all the religious people in the world? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20, Paul answers, I, Paul, say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, and Paul is referring to unbelievers, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you, believers in Christ, to become sharers in demons. The religious, unbelievers, the lascivious and legalistic ones, worship demons. They pray to demons. Many don't want a relationship with God. They want a relationship with idols. No human being has ever sought God. And if God did not seek a relationship with us, we'd be in big trouble. Indictment 4, Romans 3:12a. All creatures have turned aside from God. Every human being at some time in life abandons the way of God. How could it be otherwise? If it happens in the human realm, would it not follow that it would also happen in the spiritual realm? Has it happened to you? Have your friends ever abandoned you? How about your family? When these things happen in our lives, we think we are crazy. We think there must be something inherent in us that's deficient. Yet spiritual things are being illustrated in our souls by these things. Indictment 5, Romans 3:12b. Together, all creatures have become useless. All of us have become like rotten fruit. We have become like salt that is tasteless. We have become like coffee without cream and sugar. We're unprofitable in God's eyes. Indictment 6, Romans 3:12c. There is no creature who does good. There is not even one. When we see people as they are, it's discouraging. We don't have to look any further than the news to see people as they are. All we see is corruption, deception, selfishness, cruelty, and apostasy. Indictment 7, Romans 3:13a. Their throat is an open grave. Out of the unbeliever's throat come the sounds of death, discouragement. Ever attempt anything wonderful only to have everyone around you and everything around you sound off against it? Try losing weight. Announce any goal you have and watch the throats come against you. Indictment 8, Romans 3:13b, with their tongues, creatures keep on deceiving. Lies are a continual part of our experience, especially the lies of self-deception. Indictment 9, Romans 3:13c, the poison of asps is under their lips. Their fangs are ready to bite you at every turn, set to wound you with their poison. Indictment 10, Romans 3:14, their mouth is full of the cursing and bitterness of blasphemy. Mention the Lord Jesus Christ to someone and watch the venom come pouring forth against him. Watch the lies pour forth. Jesus Christ is not God. I'm not religious. I'm against organized religion. But they group the Lord into religion which he has no part of. Psalm 10, verse 7, the creature's mouth is full of curses and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is mischief and wickedness. Indictment 11, Romans 3, 15, the creature's feet are swift to shed blood. If it were not for the small and courageous force of police officers and military soldiers who provide restraint, we would be overrun with murder. Mankind would destroy itself. Indictment 12, Romans 3:16, destruction and misery are in their paths. We build up, we tear down. We build up, we tear down. We creatures never seem to get ahead. Indictment 13, and the path of peace creatures have not known. There is no real desire for wisdom among unbelievers. There is no real desire for growth. I think here of the legacy that human beings hope will move from generation to generation to generation. Then we see the likes of Absalom, King David's favorite son, who ruined the family legacy and set his family back by generations. Indictment 14, Romans 3:18, there is no respect for God before their eyes. What God says to unbelievers, they disregard. And because the wrath of God is stored up rather than executed immediately, men are comfortable with doing evil and with disrespecting God. Well, the only logical conclusion we can come to after the consequences of sin passage is that we are deceiving ourselves when we think we are basically good people. The Lord tells us in His Word that we are not. And He also tells us in various passages in the Bible that there is nothing we can do to clean up our acts. That could be a great dilemma without what God has done for us. Let's listen to Barah Ministry song worship leader June Murphy describe what God has done for us with the song, Worthy.
Christ is worthy. My worth is and will ever be, is my identity with the Lord Jesus Christ, for He alone is worthy. In Christ I'm worthy. In Christ alone is where my worth is, you see. He's part of the Trinity that's indwelling me. Jesus Christ is worthy. I'm worthy. In Christ alone is where my worth is, you see. He's part of the Trinity that's indwelling me. Jesus Christ is worthy. Christ is worthy. Rose again. Christ is worthy. My worth is and will ever be, is my identity with the Lord Jesus Christ, for he alone is worthy.
The Lord Jesus Christ accepts us just as we are. The Lord Jesus Christ has made us worthy. Do we accept him and what he says? Do we feel worthy? This passage says no creature does. We don't afford God the same courtesy that he affords us, acceptance. He accepts us. We don't accept him for whom he is as a person. We don't accept what he says in his word. And what he says in his word is nothing good dwells in us. Evil is present in us, the ones who want to do good. We are lost. We are not basically good people. A learned Christian approached a new believer after church one day and asked him for a testimony concerning how the new believer had come to be saved. The new believer said it was easy. I did my job, and God did his job. Well, the learned Christian was curious. Since there are no works, no human good deeds that are necessary to get into heaven, what do you mean you did your job? The Christian asked. I thought that being saved required no works on our part, that it was on the basis of grace. The new believer said, I have a different opinion. It was my job to be lost, and it was God's job to find me. I did my job, and God did his job. Fortunately for us, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want any creature to remain lost. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 to 7 say this: the Lord Jesus Christ told the scribes and Pharisees this parable, saying, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Now, one thing you need to know is that shepherds are trained never to leave their sheep. So when they do leave their sheep, it is a very, very serious matter. Well, you being lost is very, very serious to God. Luke chapter 15, verse 5. When the man has found the lost sheep, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Luke 15, 6. And when the man comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Luke 15, 7. I tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner, an unbeliever who repents, who decides to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, than over 99 righteous persons, believers in Christ, who need no repentance because they are already saved, they already believe. Well, the consequences of sin passage in Romans can easily leave us discouraged if it were not for the knowledge that God accepts us just as we are. He loves us unconditionally. He requires nothing of you to earn or deserve his love. We are worthy because he says so. It was no surprise to omniscient God, a God who knows all the knowable, who creatures are, and what creatures would do, and that comes all the way down to you. He accepts us in our horrible condition, just as we are. Isn't that great? We need to be encouraged by that. So you are not basically a good person. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 3a warns, for through the grace given to me, Paul, I say everyone among you should not think more highly of himself than he ought to think. We are all born sinners, and we all need a Savior. Fortunately for us, the Lord Jesus Christ stepped up to the challenge of being our Savior. He was perfect, he went to the cross perfectly, and he accomplished our so great salvation. Therefore, Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to doubting Thomas, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through believing in me. I am the way to salvation, the truth of the Word of God, and the resurrection life. No one comes to the Father but through believing in me. John chapter 3, verse 36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, the resurrection life, but he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the resurrection life. Instead, the wrath of God, the lake of fire, abides on him. Well, now is the time to take advantage of what the Lord Jesus Christ has chosen to do for you.
You've been listening to Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches face-to-face lessons twice a week. For more information, especially on meeting locations, go to the Barah Ministries website at barahministries.com. That's B-A-R-A-H ministries.com. The God Cares For You radio broadcast can be heard every Sunday from 12 to 12:30 right here on KXDG 1280 on your AM radio dial.